In college basketball, you never know what will happen, but one thing is for certain, that the more hoops you get, the better chance you have of winning. And Greg Peterson, the man whose nickname is Hoops, knows all about it. From the blue bloods to the afterthoughts, Greg breaks down every game, every team, every day. So now it is time for Hooping with Hoops.
Hey, hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Hooping with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. We've got a tremendous podcast for you, as we're going to be having a two-part conversation with Brian Bevan. He does a great job as a college basketball handicapper and a little bit of a jack of all trades. He does a little NFL. Much like myself, he does a Korean baseball organization, aka the KBO, and he is a man that is very fond of Duke. So in the second and third segments, we're going to be talking to him about a wide variety of things. In the first part of the conversation, going to be talking to him about Duke, the multi-team event that they've set up, the fact that they are going a little bit easier with regards to their non-conference schedule, with regards to that multi-team event, how it compares with the likes of Baylor, Villanova, teams that are really trying to challenge themselves, how we are noticing that some of these younger teams are maybe taking the route that Duke is. Meanwhile, more of these veteran-laden teams, they are really going out there and they are playing a bunch of just absolute juggernaut teams like we've seen with Baylor. So we're going to be talking about that. And then the second part of the conversation, we've been hearing a lot about everything that has went on with Wichita State the last couple years. Massive allegations coming about from reports from both Stadium and The Athletic as to wrongdoings, and that's putting it politely, that have been going on with Greg Marshall and the program. We know that he's got a little bit of a history of getting fiery on the sidelines, but it extends past that. Apparently, according to Stadium, there's been the punching of a player, a choking of an assistant, racial and ethnic slurs. I mean, the list goes on and on. It is certainly not good. So we're going to be talking to him about what that all means to the program and just how the scheduling in general might be a little bit different for college basketball, as we've noticed things have been going on with the NFL having to maneuver their schedule and why college basketball might not want to fall down that rabbit hole. So going to have a nice, long, and really hearty conversation there in the second and third segment with Brian. And as per usual, I'd love to be able to give you guys what you want to hear on this podcast. We certainly are getting very bare when it comes to news, when it comes to the weekends. For some reason, you just don't get any college basketball news on the weekends. So that's why I'm not doing a roundup of college basketball news and notes. So what I would love for you guys to do is to just send me your segment ideas, the questions that you want answered on this podcast. One of two ways. You're able to fire in a Twitter question, segment idea, comment, concern, what have you, to my Twitter timeline at @JRSQuarty1. If you send these via direct message, aka DM, well, letters DM to me doesn't not matter. Or you can leave an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, for one, you actually help out the exposure of this podcast. People that are not following Hooping with Hoops, that are not subscribed to the podcast, well, for one, shame on them. And for two, you're able to help them get a little bit more alerted that, you know what, there is some great work being done on this podcast. And with that, you're able to send in your segment ideas, questions, comments, concern. You're able to call me a big giant dummy with a dunce hat. I do not care. If you rate 5 stars, I will take it however I can get it. Anything that could be done with that regard would be helpful. Just let me know what you guys want to hear on this podcast and I will certainly deliver it to you. Did not get in any Twitter questions today, but we do have a great guest in Brian Bevan. Gonna have a nice wide-ranging chat in the next 2 segments with him right here on Hooping with Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson.
Greg is going to the bench and bringing in a sharp shooter from the Overtime Network Hotline.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Hooping with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. Great to be joined by our next guest. This man does a great job of handicapping a little bit of everything. He is out there in the great state of Arizona. He is very happy that the LA Lakers wound up winning the NBA championship. And now for him, it goes from NBA to college basketball. As it is, Brian Bevan joined me on the podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at BrianBevo10, and it is great to have you aboard. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Yeah, as you said, man, very happy to see the Lakers close it out. It was something for me that meant a lot. Somebody who idolized Kobe Bryant growing up, and then also as a young basketball player, idolized the way LeBron James played. It was just nice to see him kind of give his legacy. Oh, it was nice to see. I understand that many Lakers fans, not a fan of LeBron, and I get that, but for me, it was nice to see that ode to the horrible start to this horrible year be given the right send-off.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of a better send-off to the 2020-2021 college basketball season than we had in 2019-20 with no NCAA tournament. And to do so, we're noticing so many of these teams setting up their own bubbles to be able to get some non-conference games in. I know you're someone that you follow Duke very closely, and it's fascinating because they wound up beginning in the Battle for Atlantis tournament to begin the year. Battle for Atlantis then gets shifted to Sioux Falls, and then from there, Duke says, you know what, no thanks, I'm good. They're going to be playing in their own multi-team event against Bellarmine, Howard, and Elon. What are sort of your thoughts on this? Because it feels like Duke is playing a much lower level of competition. I actually do have some high expectations for Elon out there in the Colonial, but thought it was very intriguing that they wanted to pulling out the Battle for Atlantis to set up their own multi-team event against a couple teams that, let's face it, you typically wouldn't expect Duke to be playing.
I mean, we know as college basketball fans that the Battle for Atlantis is one of the premier tournaments begin the year. I mean, it's not the Maui Invitational, but it's right there in that second tier of elite tournaments begin the year. And to see that Duke pulled out, I'm never going to trust the judgment of Mike Krzyzewski. I'm never going to trust the judgment of the athletic department there. But for me as a fan, it was definitely discouraging to see, because as we know, as we look forward to what is going to be potentially one of the most anticipated March Madness tournaments going forward, considering we unfortunately did not have one last year, those are opportunities that you have to play and hopefully defeat some of the better teams that could also be in the tournament, and it makes their resume look better. Now, Duke withdrawing from the Battle for Atlantis and opting to host a tournament in Durham, North Carolina with Lon, Howard, and I mean, it's almost like they're playing exhibition preseason games as opposed to playing high-level competition games. I get they have to do what they have to do, but at the same time, it's not something that I generally approve of as they're trying to improve their resume come March.
It is fascinating, as we do, Brian Bevan joining me on the podcast. And what I've really been noticing when it comes to these non-conference slates is that it feels like teams are taking one of two approaches. We're noticing some of those teams that we think are going to be top tier, and they've got a bunch of experience. I'm talking about Baylor, Villanova, Virginia. They are loading it up. They are playing as many top 50 teams as humanly possible. And then we're seeing teams like a Kentucky that is trying to set up their own multi-team event. We're noticing Duke. These teams that are younger, they're really trying to duck some competition at the beginning of the year, try to get some reps. And I think that that's a little bit intentional, because when it comes to a team like Baylor, they already know what they have. They don't need to get in as many reps for their backcourt because Macy Oteague, Jared Butler, tried and true veterans. Meanwhile, with Duke, you've got a completely overhaul team. Now, you are going to be bringing back guys like Matthew Hurt and company, but it certainly is not the same, especially when you lose someone like a Trey Jones that was an all-conference performer last year.
Yeah, and I've been paying attention to what Duke has going there in their workouts in the preseason, and from what it seems, they're going to be freshman heavy again. You have five-star recruit Jalen Johnson, who seems to be the star of the camp. But then you also have some other guys. You have Jeremy Roach, who's slated to be the starting point guard, somebody that is an above average athlete, a little bit different than Trey Jones, where he's not necessarily the floor general, but someone who just brings that athletic spark to the floor. And then you also have Jamin Brakefield, another guy who is going to be the knockdown shooter of the team. And then you also transfer that over to center Mark Williams, a 7'2 guy, somebody that Duke typically does not have on their team, a massive big guy. I mean, think Jahlil Okafor. A couple years back when they won the national title, he was 6'10", 6'11". Mark Williams is a different specimen, and a lot of people think that if he can develop the right skills, that he may be somebody that just dips out after 1 year, and that's something that's going to be a little bit different for Duke. Duke is definitely wing and guard oriented and never somebody that depends on, you know, a big man, and that's going to be a little bit different for them to actually figure out overall.
Yeah, I do think that that is going to be very fascinating, and I do think that these teams that they are built a little bit more around the post are going to have a little bit of a leg up, especially at the beginning of the year as well, because what I think is going to be really interesting to begin the year, I wound up talking a couple days ago with Casey Jacobson. He obviously used to play for Stanford, does some great work out there with the Pac-12 Network, what have you. He thinks that when it comes to college basketball, there's going to be a similar trend to what we've seen with, I would say, all these sports that have returned. Defense has been very much lacking. I mean, we're seeing it with the NFL. Things normaled out a little bit more with the unders this week, but by and large, you've been seeing a whole bunch of overs. We saw with the NBA with their restart. You wound up seeing a little bit of sloppy play at the beginning with some turnovers, bookmakers adjusted. You had relatively a 50-50 split when it came to overs and unders there, but you could tell that it was really offense-oriented. I could see the same when it comes to college basketball, but whether or not the guys are going to be able to knock down those open shots, I think is a big question, which leads me to believe that a team like a North Carolina, that they typically build themselves right around rebounding, being able to get those second and third chances, they're going to be big beneficiaries of all this.
And that's something that I've been paying attention to heavily in terms of how players are going to perform overall in a setting where there necessarily is not going to be much crowd factor to begin with. Now, as much as I hate to bring in politics, you're seeing different states being able to offer more crowds actually like in the place. You see Florida, they're pushing for full stadiums actually. Agree to disagree, you know, whatever, it is what it is. But you see where these games are going to be played, and a lot of players tend to feed off of that crowd interaction. Now, a lot of these games are going to be played at the Sanford Pentagon, as we know, in South Dakota. And as we know, in South Dakota, if you've been paying attention, or if anyone's been paying attention, they are more so pushing for as many people there as possible. We're also seeing games being moved to Asheville and in North Carolina. They're also pushing for people to be there. So as we initially talked about a couple weeks ago, we're preparing for no crowds at all. The more and more we keep going forward here, it seems like there's going to be some sort of crowds. If we've been watching the NFL or college football lately, we've been seeing that they've been pushing for 25, 30, 40, 50% capacity. And it's starting to show that, you know, potentially that may be something that we need to consider as college basketball cappers going forward.
That is certainly a factor that I'm going to be looking at as we do have Brian Bevitt joining me on the podcast. And then it's something that I've been talking about on this podcast quite a bit as well. These teams being able to ascend as the season goes along. And I do think that that's part of the reason why Duke is sort of taking the approach that they are right now. As we know with the ACC, they're going to be playing a couple conference games when it comes to the month of December. I think that they're essentially going to be using this multi-team event that they set up, in which it looks like they're going to be playing Bellarmine and Elon and not playing against Howard, to be able to get these guys a little bit tuned up, because then you wind up having a couple ACC games. As of right now, I'm taking a look at it, and the Big Ten and ACC Challenge has yet to be canceled. I know that a lot of these are still going on as well. So I think that the Blue Devils, in my opinion, they're looking to get some of those games under their belt, so that way when they do get into conference competition, which is going to be a little bit earlier than normal, aside from last year, in which the ACC wound up actually beginning the year with conference play. I think that was because of the launching of the ACC network. But getting back to the crux of it, I think that Coach K is going to try to give his team a couple layup slash cupcake games, so that way they're just able to get some reps, because I do think that it is going to be the case with Duke, in which they have a lot of talent, but it's going to take just being able to get those reps for them to be able to mesh. I think that that's exactly what is behind Coach K's idea with this.
Yeah, and I think back to previous years, you think back to the Zion Williamson years, you think that Duke like goes out, they play those initial tough games early on, especially with the games against like Kentucky, Michigan State, Kansas and whatnot. And then they typically take a massive step down in talent. I think in past years, we played Stetson, we played Hartford, we played Army. Games that, what are they really going to build going forward? As we know now in this COVID period, teams aren't going to be traveling around nearly as much as they used to. So the fact that Duke is putting this together, is this going to be their, you know, their quote unquote preseason after doing the Champions Classic? And you know, especially since they backed out of the Battle for Atlantis, this may be for them, I mean, it may be like kind of a warm-up period, but going forward, this may be very crucial for them because they don't have those high-level games that they typically have early on in the season. And the fact that they're backing out of everything, it may, like going forward, like we may need to pay attention to these games more than you would, because I know for me, Duke versus Stetson is not something that I would typically, you know, put a whole lot of merit into. But this year, if it's Duke versus Howard, like we may have to pay attention to this.
I agree. And sometimes it is the games that you don't expect that wind up being the big ones. I mean, we saw some of the big upsets of the 2019-20 season, Evansville going on the road, knocking off Kentucky. I'm sure you remember this one very well. Stephen F. Austin going on the road, knocking off Duke. And we found out Stephen F. Austin, if they would have made the NCAA tournament, would have been that dangerous 12-13 seed that everyone would have had circled. So sometimes there are some teams that they come out of the woodwork and they wind up being able to put forth a great effort. Heck, you even take a look at Loyola Chicago when they knocked off Florida, when Florida was ranked very highly a couple years ago, and then Loyola Chicago winds up making the Final Four. And one of the teams that we typically think is very sneaky, that would be Wichita State, but Wichita State, well, they're going to be dealing with a lot of turmoil right now. It is going to be so fascinating to see what they do with this whole Greg Marshall situation. And with this being the big news, really, that's going on in college basketball, all that's going on with Greg Marshall, and for that matter, really an interesting story in general for all the wrong reasons, because you're hearing about these allegations and they are not good, and that's putting it very politely. I think that this is a good stopping point for part one and part two. Get into a little bit more of the Wichita State ordeal, what it might mean for them and the American Conference moving forward, and then just get the thoughts of Brian Bevan with regards to everything that we've noticed from other sports and why scheduling in college basketball might be taking a look at what's happening with the NFL, and they might decide to wind up putting in a little bit of a bye week as well, like we've seen a couple conferences out there in college basketball. So we'll be talking about that on the other side right here on Open with Hoops, myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Open with Hoops, myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. We are being rejoined by Brian Bevan, does a great job as a college basketball handicapper. As you guys heard in the first part of this conversation, does an absolutely superb job of being able to take a look at Duke. This is a man that handicaps a wide variety of sports. And you're able to follow him on Twitter at BrianBevo10. And when we were leaving off our conversation in the first part, we were talking about Duke. But now we're getting into a little bit more of what's really been topical the last couple of days when it comes to college basketball. And that'd be Wichita State. Obviously, a very unfortunate situation that is happening with that program and all the allegations that are currently being brought against Greg Marshall. Just with regards to human decency, I'm hoping that as many of those are as false as possible, but with that said, it seems like the Athletic, along with Stadium, have found some very bad information when it comes to the way that Greg Marshall has been running the program in recent years, and it does pose a lot of questions that Wichita State is going to have to answer within the next couple weeks and the coming months, and it's going to have a long-term effect on this program in general. There have been racial and ethnic slurs. Apparently, he fought a student for a parking spot. Apparently, he hit a couple students. There was a choking of an assistant. These are the rumors that are coming out now. As typically happens when it comes to stories like these, you have a couple guys that they wind up backing up exactly what was reported. You have a few other guys coming to the defense of their coach. What happens with Wichita State, I don't know. But even if Greg Marshall winds up surviving this, you have to think that it's going to be a major distraction for this program. And it's going to be coming at a time in which it seems like these guys are actually going to have a couple fewer distractions with not as many students on campus and really being able to boot up the season during Thanksgiving, in which everyone else is going to be at home.
Yeah, I appreciate the bring up of the great Stephen F. Austin upset at Duke. That is still something that for another time when we look back at great upsets. Yeah, that's not for the best. But the Greg Marshall incident is something that needs to be heavily considered, not only for the fact that it was terrible of the accusations of what's going on, but that's just something thrown in there of, you know, really like the college basketball players have enough to deal with already. But now that we have these accusations that have been reported, as you mentioned, by very reputable sources, Stadium and The Athletic, sources that have been very accurate in the past. Going forward with that, you know, you have to think about that. Wichita State, one of the top, if you still want to call them mid-majors at this point, you really have to consider how many players are going to want to saddle up and play for Greg Marshall. As we've seen, many players have transferred out of that program in the past couple months, and you would seem that many would continue to transfer out at this point because these accusations from The Athletic that have been reported are very, very, very serious. And something that going forward, I'm not sure a lot of players are going to want to stick around for.
I agree with you. And we do need to keep in mind that these are allegations as well. It's one of those things where I think many people would say that innocent until proven guilty has not necessarily been the case for a lot of people in this country, but I'm still a firm believer in it. So we are going to see in the coming days what all turns out to be real, as there's going to be apparently an official statement that is going to be put out by over 25 different Wichita State players within the next 48 hours. So I am very curious about that as well. And if Wichita State does wind up having to go through a coaching change, we've seen it a couple times the last couple years, and most notably with Louisville. You could tell that Louisville was not the same team. Many people projected them when they wound up having to can Rick Pitino as the top 10 team. They wound up falling completely off the map. Wichita State certainly not going to be a preseason top 10 team. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're out there in an improving American Athletic Conference in which you've got teams like South Florida, Central Florida, Memphis, Cincinnati, Tulsa, that they've all been able to do either a solid job the last couple of years, or I expect them to be able to do good things this upcoming year. And if this does wind up being all true, I think we could see the end of Wichita State being a power in college basketball because they've been working so hard to be able to ascend. If this winds up being true, you have to look for a new coach. You can't think that they're going to be able to get a hire quite like Greg Marshall. I think it could be a little bit doomsday for a program that is trying to become that next, say, Butler, that next team that winds up going from the mid-major ranks and really establishes themselves as a year-in and year-out power.
I would agree with that. And the fact is, we look at the term mid-major, and we know the Wichita State is consistently a top 25 team, if not very close to it. And we look at the term mid-major, and we see that it's really the conference that gives them that term mid-major. Because as we know, the AAC is not really a conference that we look at in terms of somebody that really produces consistent top five, top 10 teams. And going forward with that, you know, the Wichita State is someone that gives the AAC their name. I mean, we look at Houston this year. Houston is going to be, again, one of my teams that I think is going to be very good going forward. But going back in the past couple of years, they're good, but they're not great. They're not somebody that you would look to top the ACC, top the Big 12, top the SEC going forward. Wichita State is typically that team that you could put them in almost any other conference, and you would think that they would place in potentially the top 5, 6 at worst, maybe top 3, 4 in some other conferences. That situation going forward is something that's going to be very fluid. And I think that if things go south for Wichita State, you have to look at the AAC in general, especially recruits going forward. And we know that Wichita State is one of those programs that can bring that big game atmosphere. And if Greg Marshall is gone from there, and from what we're hearing could be true, and as you mentioned, they're just allegations at this point. None of that is true necessarily, but if it is true, that's something that going forward, us as college basketball cappers are like, is the AAC going to be something that we, you know, look at as a quote unquote major conference going forward?
I agree. And Brian, something else I want to focus on with this podcast as well is just what you're looking at in general, because we're about a month and a half away from the college basketball season. One thing that has really caught my eye with the recent developments of the last couple of days is just the scheduling of college basketball. I know that there's one conference out there in the Metro Atlantic that is sort of being proactive, not reactive when it comes to COVID-19. They've set aside a week towards the end of the year, which is going to be just dedicated COVID makeups. Obviously, if you don't wind up having any, that's terrific. Players just wind up getting rest. But I do think that this is the best way to go about it because we've noticed in the sports in which does not have a bubble system, that'd be the NFL along with Major League Baseball. They both had their seasons affected. The NFL is just trying to do a little bit of everything to essentially put a Band-Aid on a wound that is much more than what is needed from a Band-Aid because they're assuming that there's going to be no other makeups that need to happen. Certainly, that's not necessarily the best of situations. And with Major League Baseball, they were able to get that there's going to be no other. We are seeing it take place with regards to the NFL and the MLB, the two major sports that really have not been using a bubble. And the fact that they just had a bunch of scheduling snafus. Now, the MLB, by and large, was able to get in their games, but they have the luxury of being able to play doubleheaders. For the NFL, right now, it's just a big, giant mess as to what they are all trying to do. And that's something that I'm trying to keep my eye on because when it comes to college basketball, obviously you can be as optimistic as possible. But I mean, if we wind up getting through the entire season without there being a COVID delay, without there being a couple games that wind up getting postponed / canceled, I think it would be an absolutely Herculean feat of all Herculean feats. I do think that it would be wise for more conferences to take the approach like the Metro Atlantic has, set aside a couple days in case if there does need to be some makeups at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's something that we definitely need to look at because as we see, I mean, unless you have a bubble setting with the NBA and NHL as they have done their playoffs and process in a very, as you said, Herculean matter, if we don't have that in college basketball, you have to assume there's going to be issues. Look at the NFL. They're going through a major COVID issue right now. You've had college football teams where they have had to postpone games for 3, 4, 5 weeks. We look at Houston college football. They've had to postpone their season by 5 weeks until they actually started their first game. And they're a team that I look at as somebody, if there's any college basketball issues. In Houston college football, they started off as a 6.5-point favorite against Tulane and they were down 24-7 already. I don't want to try to equate that to how many points that would be down in college basketball, but if you're going to have teams that are going to be down consistently to start where they can't practice or they can't go through their initial process for a game, then that's something we're going to have to look at going forward, where teams who don't play initially are going to have troubles when they actually start. So again, that was something that I really took note of going forward, because I was interested to see how Houston, a team that should handily beat Tulane, they struggled very early on. So for someone that caps college basketball, that's something maybe look at as a first half bet or something going forward like that.
I am right there with you, and something that you should always look at. The great work that you're doing, Brian. You do absolutely superb job of handicapping a little bit of everything. I'm sure that college basketball is something that you're going to be looking at a little bit more closely now that the NBA season is wrapping up. I know that you do a little bit of football and so many other sports as well. So love to get people at home know what you're all working on right now, and now they're able to follow along on social media.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at BrianBevo10. I post all my plays there, and unlike a lot of typical handicappers on Twitter, it's not just all sports for me there. I said I talk music, talk life, talk anything that really pretty much anyone wants to even talk about. But I do cap NFL, college football, and like my buddy Greg, I do cap some KBO as well. I had 6-7 straight winning weeks there, but I will admit this week was one of the tougher ones there. As Greg knows, the Hanwha Eagles are a team that we love to fade, but very, very recently, they've looked like the Tampa Bay Rays or the Houston Astros or the Los Angeles Dodgers recently, instead of the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Baltimore Orioles. It's been a tough treading fading them recently, but nonetheless, we've kept on that very, very tough KBO trek that we started up in April, May, whenever it was. And it's just been something that we love to do on the side for fun.
I am right there with you. And as I call the Hanwha Eagles when it comes to my baseball handicapping, the poopy Hanwha Eagles. But with that said, they were able to get some wins, and Brian always does as well. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Hoopin with Hoops. If you like hearing from this fine podcast, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you ever have a question for the podcast, feel free to fire that into my Twitter timeline at JarenSquirty1. Letters EM to me does not matter. Or you can send in an Apple Podcast review. Rate this podcast 5 stars. It helps out the exposure, and you're able to get in your segment ideas, questions, comments, concerns, what have you there. I hope you're all safe, healthy, and doing well. I will come at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.